Our reading today from this Wednesday of Holy Week comes not from St. John. We've heard St. John the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week. But now we have the reading from St. Matthew. And it's Matthew's account of Judas's betrayal of Christ. And immediately before this, a few verses before, is the story of the woman who was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus had been at their home, and Mary had taken the costly perfume and poured it all over the Lord's feet. Judas was very upset. Remember, he said, why wasn't this money sold and given to the poor? Remember, that was worth 300 pieces of silver, an entire year's wage. And when the Lord praised Mary for her generosity, it seems that Judas had had enough. And it says that this is when he went to the chief priest and says, what will you give me if I hand him over to you? And they gave him 1/10 of that. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. If you read the book of Exodus, that was the price of a slave. That's what they would sell slaves for in the Old Testament, was 30 pieces of silver. Now, when we think about that, it brings to mind the passage from St. Paul to the Philippians, that Jesus did not deem equality to be God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and took the form of a slave and was born in the likeness of man. So Jesus is the slave. He is the one who emptied himself and became a slave to die for our salvation, to set us free from the slavery of the devil. So yes, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, became a slave. And he offered his life as a ransom for you and for me. So when we see this 30 pieces of silver, remember that, the price of a slave. And Jesus was willing to die as a common criminal on the cross, as a slave on the cross. He emptied himself of glory, and he took upon himself the sins of the world. So that 30 pieces of silver reminds us of the sacrifice that Christ would make for us, that he would die in our place. Instead of you and I dying, Jesus said, I will die in your place. And he became a slave that was willing to lay down his life for each one of us. He said, from that time on, Judas looked for an opportunity to hand him over. What was Judas's motivation? Was it purely financial, trying to make some money? Perhaps he had deeper motives. Perhaps he thought that if he had gotten the Lord into a place before the chief priests and the scribes, the Lord would be able to defend himself. Perhaps he would be able to lead a revolt, a rebellion against the Romans, and people would rise up during the Passover and overthrow the Roman government and bring back Israel as the leader of the promised land and Jerusalem. We don't know all his motives. Some of it certainly could have been financial. Others, though, seem to think that it had to do with politically. He was trying to put the Lord in a place where he would defend himself before the Sanhedrin and where he would bring about a revolt and get rid of the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. So we don't know exactly, but Judas began to plot for the Lord's death. And he said something very interesting. What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? Bishop Sheen says that we always get into trouble when we think of ourselves, if we get selfish. What are you willing to give me? That's not the idea of a Christian. A Christian should be like Christ. Instead of what are you willing to give me, what can I do for you? See, this is where marriages get into trouble. If the husband or wife says, what are you willing to give me? What will you do for me? Or if the kids say to the parents, what will you do for me? It should just be the opposite. The spouse should say to one another, what can I do for you? Not what can you give me out of this relationship? What can I do for you? Kids, to your brothers and sisters, what can I do for you? How can you help the other person in the family? So here Judas's selfishness, what will you give me? The root of every sin has selfishness involved. The true spirit of Christ is, what can I do for you? What can I do for the beloved, for the other person? So this is where Judas got into trouble with his selfishness. Now we must never fall into that selfish attitude, but instead be willing to serve, to give ourselves, and not keep asking, what can the other person give us? And then lastly, they're reclining at table in this account of the Last Supper, and Jesus predicted, one of you will betray me. They all looked around at each other, and each one individually said to Jesus, surely it is not I, Lord. Very important detail. They, each one, except for Judas, called Jesus Lord. But when it came to Judas, he said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. He could not call Jesus Lord. He called him teacher. He called him Rabbi. And this, I think, is also what St. Paul was talking about in the New Testament, where he said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. See, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you can't say those words, because anybody can say Jesus is Lord. But to truly mean it, to say that Jesus is Lord of your life, Lord of your body, mind, heart, and soul, Lord of your family, Lord of your heart, that He is Lord, you can only say that in the Holy Spirit. So all the other disciples said to Jesus, surely it is not I, Lord. But one man said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Judas, even though he had been with Jesus for 3 years, never made him the Lord of his heart, the Lord of his life. And that's why when it came down to it, he could not say, surely it is not I, Lord. He was unwilling and unable to claim Christ as Lord of his heart.